Hey everyone, welcome back to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FANG company, and this is where I break down what's actually happening at the frontier of artificial intelligence. Big thanks to today's sponsor, Limitless AI. They help businesses integrate AI into their workflows in ways that actually move the needle. We've got a packed episode today, Meta making massive moves in renewable energy, Anthropic bringing Claude Cowork to your phone, a wild story about a longevity lab in orbit, and Microsoft doing some significant restructuring. Let's get into it. All right, first up, Meta is adding another 650 megawatts of solar power to its already massive renewable energy portfolio. This comes from TechCrunch AI, and the headline number here is wild. Meta already has more than 12 gigawatts of capacity in its renewable power portfolio, so this 650 megawatt addition is not a small thing on its own, but in context of 12 gigawatts, you start to understand the sheer scale of what's being built here. Let me put that in perspective for you. 12 gigawatts is roughly equivalent to the output of 12 large nuclear power plants. We are talking about an absolutely staggering amount of energy infrastructure being assembled in the background to support AI workloads. And here's the thing, this is not just about being a good corporate citizen with clean energy, although that's part of the story. This is fundamentally about AI compute training large models, running inference at scale, powering data centers that never sleep. All of that requires enormous, consistent, reliable power. The energy question is one of the defining constraints of the AI era right now. Every major tech company is grappling with it. The question isn't just, can we build better models? It's, can we physically power them? What I find strategically interesting here is that Meta is not just buying renewable energy credits, which is kind of the old-school corporate sustainability move. They're actually building out real capacity, solar deals, real infrastructure. That's a long-term bet. Solar assets take time to come online. They require land, permitting, grid interconnection. Meta is playing a multi-year game here. And when you pair this with their Llama open source strategy and their massive investment in custom silicon, you start to see a company that is building vertical integration into AI infrastructure at every layer, from the chip to the model to the energy that powers it all. For investors and practitioners, I think the takeaway here is that the energy story in AI is not going away. If anything, as models get larger and inference demand explodes with more agentic workloads, we are going to need even more power. Companies that can lock in cheap, reliable, renewable energy at scale are going to have a significant cost advantage. Meta's 12-gigawatt portfolio is a competitive moat that is very hard to replicate quickly. This is infrastructure strategy as AI strategy, and Meta seems to understand that deeply. Next story, and this is one I'm personally very excited about, Anthropic is launching Claude Cowork on mobile and web. This is from The Verge AI, so up until now, Claude Cowork was only accessible through the Claude desktop app on macOS and Windows. As of this week, it's rolling out to mobile and web for the first time, starting with Mac subscribers, with other plan tiers coming in the next few weeks. So if you've been using Claude Cowork only at your desk, that's about to change in a pretty fundamental way. Let's talk about what Claude Cowork actually is, for folks who might not have spent a ton of time with it. It's Anthropic's agentic workspace. The idea is that Claude isn't just answering questions, it's actually working alongside you on tasks. It can take actions, maintain context across a longer workflow, and operate with more autonomy than your typical chat interface. Think of it less like a chatbot and more like a collaborator that can actually do things. And now that it's on mobile and web, the surface area for where that collaboration can happen just got dramatically larger. There's also a detail from the Wired AI story on this same topic that I want to layer in here because it's really important. Claude Cowork now keeps working on tasks even after you close your laptop. Read that again. It keeps working after you close your laptop. That is a significant architectural shift in how we think about AI agents. Previously, most agentic workflows were essentially tied to an active session. You had to stay in the app, keep it open. Now Anthropic is moving toward a model where the agent is persistent. It runs in the background, completes work, and you check in on it rather than babysitting it the whole time. This is part of a larger industry trend toward what I'd call fire and forget agents. You kick off a task, you walk away, and the agent handles it. The shift to mobile is a key enabler of this, because if the agent is doing work in the background and you need to check on it or redirect it, your phone is where you're most likely to do that. It's the device that's always with you. Anthropic seems to be thinking about smartphone as the control plane for agentic AI, not necessarily where the heavy lifting happens, but where the human stays in the loop. For practitioners and developers, I think this signals where the whole category is heading. Agentic AI is moving off the desktop and into a more ambient, always-on model. That has huge implications for how you design products and workflows on top of these systems. The session-based mental model is going out the window. You need to think about persistence, state management, and how users interact with an agent that might have been running for hours before they check in. Claude Cowork going mobile is not just a product update, it's a preview of what AI work looks like in 2 or 3 years. Okay, this next one is genuinely one of the coolest stories I've covered in a while. A British space startup has launched a longevity lab into orbit. This is from Wired AI. So here's the setup. The lab is going to beam back data from space to train AI models that predict how proteins behind age-related diseases like Alzheimer's and certain cancers behave. Let that sink in for a second. We are running biology experiments in space and using the data to train AI models on Earth to fight some of the most devastating diseases we know of. Why space? That's the natural question, right? And it's actually a really compelling answer. In microgravity, proteins can crystallize and fold in ways that are very difficult or impossible to replicate on Earth. You can observe protein behaviors and structures with much higher clarity in orbit because you're removing the effects of gravity on the physical processes. So the experimental environment in space lets you capture data about protein dynamics that you simply cannot get in a ground-based lab. And that data is gold if you're trying to train models that understand how proteins misfold, aggregate, or malfunction, which is exactly what happens in diseases like Alzheimer's. The AI angle here is what makes this more than just a cool science story. The models being trained on this data are essentially learning to predict protein behavior, which is a hugely complex problem. You might be thinking about AlphaFold, which was a landmark achievement in protein structure prediction. But structure is one thing, behavior and dynamics over time, especially in disease contexts. That's a whole other layer of complexity. If you can train models on rich, high-quality protein data from space experiments, you potentially unlock predictive capabilities that could dramatically accelerate drug discovery and disease research. For the AI community specifically, I want to highlight that this is a great example of data strategy being the actual competitive advantage. The model architecture matters, compute matters, but the data you're training on, especially unique data you can't get anywhere else. That's often what separates breakthrough work from incremental work. A company that has proprietary access to space-based biological data is sitting on something genuinely rare, and using it to train longevity and disease prediction models is about as high impact an application of AI as I can imagine. The intersection of space tech, biotech, and AI is an area I'm watching very closely. We're in this interesting moment where all three of these fields are maturing simultaneously, and the combination is producing research directions that would have sounded like science fiction a decade ago. Running a longevity lab in orbit and beaming the data back to train neural networks. Honestly, I love that we live in a world where that sentence is about a real thing happening right now. All right, shifting gears to some difficult news. Microsoft is laying off 4,800 employees. This is from The Verge AI. The cuts represent about 2.1% of Microsoft's total workforce, and they're happening at the start of the company's new financial year. The employees most affected are in Microsoft's commercial sales business and in the Xbox division. This comes about a year after Microsoft cut around 9,100 employees in a previous round of layoffs. So this is the second significant reduction in a relatively short window. Now, I want to be real here. Before we get into the strategic analysis, these are people's jobs and livelihoods, and that's not something to gloss over. Thousands of people's lives are disrupted by this. That matters. And I think it's worth sitting with that for a second before we talk about what it means at the business level. Okay, so what does it mean at the business level? The pattern here is something we're seeing across big tech more broadly. Companies are restructuring away from traditional sales headcount and toward leaner. More AI-integrated go-to-market motions. When you have AI tools that can handle a significant chunk of what a large sales support team does, you need fewer people in those roles. That's not speculation. That's the explicit direction most of these companies are signaling. Microsoft's commercial sales division getting hit hardest is consistent with that thesis. The Xbox piece is a little different and probably reflects broader challenges in the gaming market, rather than an AI-specific restructuring. Gaming has had a tough stretch, and Microsoft has been doing a lot of integration work post-Activision acquisition. So I'd read those cuts separately from the AI-driven efficiency narrative. But combined, 4,800 is not a small number, and it signals that Microsoft is making real trade-offs about where it wants to concentrate resources. Here's the bigger picture I want to zoom out to. Microsoft has been one of the most aggressive investors in AI infrastructure, the OpenAI partnership, Copilot integration across every product, massive data center build-out. All of that costs money, and a company at Microsoft scale doesn't just print unlimited cash. There are real trade-offs happening. When you're spending tens of billions on AI infrastructure and partnerships, you're looking at your cost base everywhere else and making hard decisions. The layoffs are, in part, the cost of the AI bet. Resources are being reallocated from legacy headcount toward capital-intensive AI investment. For folks in the industry thinking about what this signals, I think it reinforces a trend we should all be paying attention to. The companies making the biggest bets on AI are simultaneously restructuring their traditional operations. That cycle is going to continue. If you're a practitioner or a leader in a large organization, the question you should be asking is, what roles and functions in my organization are being transformed by AI? And am I getting ahead of that transformation proactively or waiting for a reactive moment like this one? All right, I want to spend a few more minutes on Claude Cowork because I think the Wired AI framing of this story surfaces some details worth unpacking further. The headline there is "Shut Those Laptops," and I love that framing because it really captures the behavioral shift Anthropic is enabling. The ability to close your computer and have your AI agent keep working is not just a convenience feature. It's a philosophical statement about what AI assistance is supposed to look like. Think about how we've used AI tools up to this point. Mostly it's been reactive and session-based. You open the app, you type something, you get a response, you maybe iterate, and then you close it. The intelligence exists within that window of interaction. What Anthropic is moving toward with persistent background agents is fundamentally different. The AI has a task, it's working on it, and you're not required to be present for that work to continue. You come back when it's ready for your input or when it's done. This is actually a much harder technical problem than it might sound. Maintaining agent state, handling failures gracefully, knowing when to pause and ask for human input versus when to keep going, managing security and permissions when operating autonomously, these are genuinely difficult engineering challenges. The fact that Anthropic is rolling this out to production users means they've made real progress on those hard problems. I'm curious how the failure modes manifest in the wild, because that's where you really learn what needs more work. The mobile piece is the other angle I want to emphasize. Anthropic describing this as part of a push towards smartphone-controlled agents is a big deal for the developer ecosystem. If you're building on top of Claude's API or thinking about agentic product design, you should be assuming that the primary human touchpoint for AI agents is going to be mobile. That changes your UX design, your notification strategy, how you surface agent status and progress, how you handle approvals and redirects. These are design problems that the industry is just starting to figure out, and the companies and developers that crack mobile-first agent interaction are going to have a real advantage. I'll also just say the combination of all three of today's AI product stories, Meta's energy infrastructure, Claude Cowork going mobile and persistent, the space-based longevity research, they all point to AI moving out of the experimental phase and into deeply embedded, always-on infrastructure. Energy, agents, scientific research, AI is becoming ambient. It's becoming part of the background fabric of how work and discovery happen. That's the macro trend underlying all of these individual stories, and it's accelerating faster than most people outside this industry realize. That wraps it up for today's episode of AI Special Report. We covered Meta's massive renewable energy expansion, Anthropic bringing Claude Cowork to mobile and web with persistent background agents, a British startup running a longevity lab in orbit to train disease prediction models, and Microsoft's latest round of layoffs as it reallocates resources toward AI. If you want to dig deeper into any of these stories, all the sources and links are in the show notes. Check out the link in show notes for everything you need. AI Special Report, brought to you by Limitless AI. If your organization is ready to actually integrate AI into your workflows in a way that drives results, check them out. And if you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to be paying attention to this space. I'm Skylar Monroe. I'll see you next time.